Today is the fourth of the Ten Commandments in our series, and today's commandment is probably the most controversial, the most debated, perhaps the most misunderstood commandment of all, and I wonder just how many of you will agree with what I'm going to say about it. We shall see. This is how it begins. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Chris Justice came in this morning and said, I saw what you were preaching on today and I decided maybe I'd practice what you preach and sleep in. And I said, Chris, that's all right. You may sleep during the sermon instead. Now he has an excuse. What is the Sabbath day? What does it mean to keep it holy? How are we supposed to do that? Are we guilty or are we not guilty of breaking this commandment? If we are guilty of breaking this commandment, are we going to go to hell? Those are serious questions, and they deserve careful answers. And even though I know that most of you, what is that noise? Is that from here or outside? Is that me? It's in there? I thought it was the sound system. Okay. I know that most of you, Chris thought it was too. He was looking at me like, what is happening? I know that most of you have already settled this question for yourself in your own mind. You've already dwelt with these questions. And you probably think, I don't need to hear anything about this today, but we're going to deal with it anyway. And to start this, let's start at the very beginning. A very good place to start. Because it started with creation. Genesis 2:2-3. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. And on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy. Because on it, he rested from all of the work of creating that he had done. Now notice a few things. There's no mention of Sunday. There's no mention of Saturday. There's no mention of Tuesday. There are no commandments whatsoever contained in all of that. It only says seventh day. No commandment was needed because Adam and Eve had not yet sinned. But there is something in that passage that is for today, for all days, and for all of us, and it is one word. It is the word work. Through the creation, the act of creating, God worked. God worked. And then he finished his work and he stopped working. A few verses later in Genesis 2, verse 15, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. Work was not intended to be a punishment. Work was intended to be a privilege and a responsibility. You and I were created to work. It was God's pleasure to work for us in creating everything that we enjoy. It is our privilege to work for God in maintaining his creation. But because of sin, something had to be added. Our work then also became a punishment for us. Our punishment did not replace the privilege of working, but it was added to the privilege. So work is both a privilege and a punishment. How would you describe your work life? Past, present, how would you describe your work life? Is it a blessing to you or is it a curse to you? For every single one of us in here, work is a four-letter word. W-O-R-K. Get it? For every one in here, of us in here, work is a four-letter word. Get it? Someone who hated their work created a sign. The sign was in the shape of a circle. Have I gone away? It's not working. Testing. 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 I'll use this, Chris.
Okay. The sign that they created was a circle. The circle had in the middle of it some printed words, and the words were, "Bang head here." And also there were instructions with this sign. The instructions were fourfold. Place the circle on a firm surface. 2, follow the instructions on the circle, banging your head. 4, repeat as often as needed until unconscious. And 4, if unconscious, cease your stress reduction. That's what work is for some people. And I hope that none of you are at that point, but I hear from some of you, and I know that some of you are stressed in work. Pastor A.W. Tozer wrote this. He said, "We of the nervous West," let's stop right there. Listen to that again. "We of the nervous West are victims of the philosophy of activism tragically misunderstood. Getting and spending, going and returning, organizing and promoting, buying and selling, working and playing, this alone constitutes living. If we are not making plans or working to carry out plans already made, we feel that we are failures, that we are sterile, that we are unfruitful eunuchs, parasites on the body of society. The gospel of work, as someone has called it, has crowded out the gospel of Christ in many Christian churches." Yes, work is a curse, but we can make it worse. God wants us to work, but he does not want us to make work our God. Work is not the source of our self-worth. Work is not the source of your self-worth. Work is not the source of life itself. Work can become a wall between you and other people, especially the people to whom you should be the closest. Work can become a wall between you and God. We are not only people of the nervous West, as Tozer said, but we are people who are driven by the tyranny of the urgent. Someone wrote a little book that I got years and years ago. I love that title, "The Tyranny of the Urgent." We're driven by it sometimes. We're constantly trying to find ways to work faster and faster, to get more and more done. There are dangers with that, of course. And here's a story that kind of captures that thought. It's a true story. It happened in 1956. Thomas Aldridge was a test pilot. And he was flying a supersonic Tiger Jet 620 over the Atlantic Ocean. How would you like to have that for a job, for your work? You would, Jim, right? Jim says yes. Jim's a pilot. Okay. Now, part of his test was to fire the plane's cannons. And he fired 70 rounds, and then he went faster. And he went into an increased dive, and then he fired 55 more rounds, and he emptied his ammunition. And at that point, 3 of the rounds that he had fired at the higher altitude, which had been slowed down by the resistance of the air and had started to fall to the earth, hit his airplane. One of them hit on the windshield, the other one hit on the nose cone, and the other one hit on the engine intake. It reduced the plane's engine power to the point that he couldn't make it back to the airport, and he had to crash his plane in the trees short of the runway. Thank God he was not hurt, and here is what the newspaper reported the next day. "Navy jet fighter shot itself down." How? It was going too fast. Now, the explanation for this requires a course in physics that I've never had, nor would I understand. But it's true. And by the way, it created warnings for other pilots, and those warnings are in existence even today. It taught them how to come out of the dive in a certain way to avoid this problem. And yet another pilot did the same thing in 1973. That's us. We go faster, faster and faster. We don't slow down enough. I'm sure you've heard this, the faster I go, the behinder I get. On the flip side of this concern, I would say blessed are those, the man or the woman, who gets paid to work doing what they love doing. Now, I would have to say that I belong to that category. Do you? I feel extremely blessed. I have almost always loved my work situations. I've been so blessed to be able to use the time and the creativity that God has allowed me to have to work in His kingdom and to get a paycheck. It's just an incredible blessing. It's a humbling blessing for me. And I'm sure that there are many of you sitting here today who could say exactly the same thing. But we all probably share this, and it's captured in a famous quote. It's hard to soar with the eagles when I have to work with all these turkeys. Into every life, some turkeys must fall. I'm convinced that those turkeys are part of God's curse on me for my sin. Now, of course, I don't mean all the people who have come in my life and my work life. I've also been blessed by many of the people, blessed abundantly by many of the people that God has placed in my life. And right now, some of you are probably asking, which am I? Well, I ain't saying. But let me turn the question around. Which am I? Am I a turkey? Or am I a blessing? Okay. The whole concept of work started at creation, but so did the whole concept of rest. God rested. Now, when it says that God rested on the seventh day, it wasn't because He was tired. It was because He ceased working. It was a decision. It was finished. And it was good. And He ceased working. That was the creation before the fall. After the fall of mankind came the Ten Commandments. And the fourth one said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Was that just for the Jews? Or was that for all of us today? We're going to talk about that. Let's talk about the committed Jew. For the committed Jew, that fourth commandment was the cornerstone of their faith. How were they supposed to honor the Sabbath? Why were they supposed to honor the Sabbath? How and why? For the answers, we're going to turn to the scriptures and the narrative in the giving of the Ten Commandments. You know, when we talk about the Ten Commandments, we often just list them in a shortened version. But in some of the Ten Commandments, God expanded and He gave more information. And on this commandment, the fourth one, He gave more information than any of the others. There are two passages in scriptures where we are given the story of the Ten Commandments coming to Moses. One of them is in Exodus and one of them is in Deuteronomy. Let's first look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Labor and work, are they the same? No. In the Hebrew language, when one would labor, it was without pay. It was as a volunteer, it was as a servant, or even a slave. Work was something different. It had a lot to do with farming, because they were, after all, a farming community. A person might not be paid for labor, but they would be paid for work. So work was related to being an employee. Employee. Now I'm continuing with verse 10. In Exodus 20. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter nor your manservant nor your maidservant nor your animals nor the alien within your gates. There are 7 days in the week, and God said on one of them, cease working. That means that 85% of the time we are continue to labor, and we are to continue to work. Now, in the earlier question, I asked you how the Jews were supposed to honor the Sabbath. And the answer is obvious, by not working. The other question was, why? And according to this passage, it was to commemorate creation. To commemorate creation, but especially Jehovah God as the creator. Now let's move to the second scripture where the Ten Commandments were given, in Deuteronomy chapter 5. In this scripture, God added another why to this fourth commandment. Deuteronomy 5, beginning with verse 15. He said, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. They labored. They weren't paid. And that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. In other words, God said, I delivered you, I saved you, I rescued you from your tormentors, from your captors, from those who were evil, from that evil bondage of slavery under Pharaoh. So one day a week, cease your labors to commemorate the fact that I delivered you from your labors of slavery. What did that mean for the committed Jew? It meant I was rescued, I was saved, I was freed. And that's what it means as a Christian under Jesus Christ. You were rescued, you were free, and we will honor him, the Jew would say, with obedience. Obedience. Now, a little parenthesis or a big parenthesis. This commandment and all of the first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. Next week, we're going to start number 5 through 10, and they all deal with our relationships with one another. Close parenthesis. Now, I hope you remember at the beginning of this, I said that this was probably not going to be an easy subject to grasp. Did I say that? If I didn't, I intended to say that. This is not going to be an easy subject to grasp. And I ask you to stay with me. Please stay with me. And I hope you are still with me, because I know that I'm loading on bricks and more bricks and more bricks. For the Jew, obedience to the fourth commandment became a god in and of itself, a form of idolatry. God hated that. Our English word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, and it means rest, in the sense of stop working. In the Jewish calendar, the seventh day of the week is Saturday, and Saturday to the Jews is called Shabbat. On that day, all work was to cease. As time marched on, the Jewish scribes began to expand on this law, just the way lawyers and lawmakers tend to do today. And they came up with all sorts of rules. And most of those rules for the committed Jew were defining things that they must not do, in order to be obedient to this fourth commandment. And the scribes developed a detailed, elaborate list of forbidden tasks, spelled out in absurd instructions in 24 chapters of the Talmud. For instance, and all of these instances that I'm going to share with you are real. I'm not making these up. You were not allowed to carry anything that weighed more than a dried fig. You couldn't carry a needle for fear that you might sew something. Taking a bath was forbidden because water might splash on the floor and wash it. Women were not to look into a mirror for fear that they might pull out a gray hair. That's really the truth. That's really what's written there. And when you go to Israel today, and you're there on Shabbat, on Saturday, you will see how the Jews, the committed Jews, observe this commandment. In fact, if you go to a Jewish hotel, you will discover Shabbat elevators. They pre-program the elevators to stop on every floor and open the door and then go back, so that the Jew won't have to push the button, because that's considered work. Rules, rules, bricks, bricks, burdens, burdens. And that was true in the day of Jesus, and he spoke about it in Luke 11, verse 46. Jesus says, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." Things got out of control. So what's new under the sun? Things always seem to get out of control. On this subject of the Sabbath, we could review so many stories in the Old Testament from places like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Nehemiah and others, talking about honoring the Sabbath and talking about dishonoring the Sabbath. But now I'm going to turn to the New Testament. Are you still with me? I'm going to turn to the New Testament. How does all this apply to you today? How does all of this apply to you today? Now, in the New Testament, the how and the why changed. 9 of the 10 commandments were reiterated in the New Testament. This commandment is the only one of the 9 that was not reiterated in the New Testament. God, in many ways, taught us that we are to honor all of those other 9 commandments, even as New Testament Christians in Christ, but there is silence on this commandment. Does that mean that we're free to ignore it? Does that mean that Chick-fil-A is wrong to close on Sundays? No. The answer to both is no. We are not free to ignore it. Chick-fil-A is not in error. But let's explore it. Jesus got into trouble. And he got into trouble primarily for 2 issues. The first was that he claimed to be the Messiah. That made them angry. They sent him to a cross. But the second issue that got him into more trouble than anything else was the way he observed the Sabbath day. The way he observed the 4th commandment. And here is just one of the primary passages that sheds some light on it. It's Mark chapter 2, verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. No. You don't push that button. And as his disciples walked along, no. Walking is work. You're pushing a button. They began to pick some heads of grain. Oh, no. This is forbidden. It's the 7th day of the week. It is Shabbat. They're not supposed to do any of this. Verse 25, the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath." Now, to the Jewish rabbis, the Sabbath was an end in itself. For Jesus, the Sabbath was created for us. It was created for man's benefit. He even declared himself Lord even over the Sabbath. For Jesus, man's needs must have precedence over the law. Now, Jesus did not abolish the Sabbath. In fact, he honored the Sabbath also. He went to the synagogue on the right day, the seventh day of the week. But Jesus relaxed the rules of the Sabbath. Why did he do that? It was because of that, those absurd extensions of the Sabbath rules that the scribes had made up, that had become burdens on the people. Man's worship was on religion, not on God. Oh, let's pause right there just a moment. Brothers and sisters, let us never be guilty of worshiping worship. Let us never be guilty of worshiping liturgy, or we always do it that way. Let us always be focused on God in what we do, not on religion. Now, how does all this apply to you today, I ask? First, understand that the Sabbath rest was a foreshadow. It was a foreshadow of a future day of rest. And that day came through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Understand that the Sabbath is both a practical and a spiritual sign in the Bible. It's a commemoration, it's a remembrance of God's saving grace, but God gave it to us for our own good, and he had to spell out something. He said, don't work all the time, you dumb brains. Don't work all the time. Too many Christians believe that all they have to do to observe the Sabbath is to come to a worship service on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. That is a very shallow understanding of what the Bible and God is trying to say to us about the Sabbath. And here's where we land this baby. Celebrate the Sabbath. Celebrate it. What does it mean to do that? Celebrate the fact that God made you, brothers and sisters. In creation, God worked and he made you. You cannot make yourself. Celebrate that he made you. Celebrate the fact that God gives you the privilege of work, the opportunity of work, which is a taste of creation, creativity, working for the Lord. So work to his glory. Celebrate the fact that God also gives you the privilege of rest, a taste of Eden, a taste of heaven to come, eternal rest. So rest to his glory. Celebrate that just as God delivered his people from the evil of work and slavery under Pharaoh, God delivered us from the devil himself. Deliver us from evil, we pray. Deliver us from evil. The word evil is in capital letters in the Bible. It's talking about Satan. Rescue me from Satan. That's what you're praying. And he does, and he has. Jesus Christ has delivered you. So come to him and rest. Finally, exactly how you and Chick-fil-A choose to celebrate the Sabbath today is no longer a matter of rules and law. It's a matter of faith and conscience. Here are two verses from the New Testament to guide us. First, Colossians 2, verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Second scripture, we have a strong warning. It's from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. In other words, brothers and sisters, the most important thing is not how you choose to embrace and honor the Sabbath. It's how you choose to embrace and honor the Lord of the Sabbath. As the New Testament, as New Testament Christians entering into God's rest, we must cease from our own works. What does that mean? You cannot save yourself. No matter how hard you labor, or how hard you work, or how many good deeds you do, you cannot save yourself. Rest in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. I asked you at the beginning, I wondered how many of you would agree with me when we get to the end of the sermon. I'm not going to take a vote. I'll close with this, Psalm 62, verse 1. My soul finds rest in God alone. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, Your word is filled with mystery and guidance and truth. And we really do want to be obedient to You. And Lord, sometimes we're guilty of reading between the lines, or sometimes we're guilty of assuming that something is not for us at this time. Lord, I pray that nothing I've shared here would dishonor You or Your truth. I pray that everything I have said here that is of You will be accepted as truth by my brothers and sisters and by me. If I have said anything, Lord, not of You, then, Lord, may Your Holy Spirit convict and take over and guide us all to be obedient to You in everything we do, in the ways You want us to be obedient. We are Your servants. What a privilege. Thank You, God. In Jesus' name, amen.